really terrible. Necktie, the worst. Bearing, just unbearable. What to tackle first? Still, you've got possibilities, though you're horribly square. I see possibilities. Underneath, there's something there.
In Nikki Silver's black comedy, The Lions, Linda Lavin plays the matriarch of a wildly dysfunctional family gathered at the bedside of her dying husband. She's gotten glowing reviews, and the run of the play at the Vineyard Theater on East 15th Street has just been extended until November 11th. Ms. Lavin also has a new CD of jazz standards called Possibilities, which is about to be released, and I'm very pleased that all of those things have brought her to our show again today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. It's great to be here with you.
Last season, you were in two productions that have now transferred to Broadway. John Robin Bates's Other Desert Cities and Stephen Sondheim's Follies. And some people are wondering why you chose to go into an off-Broadway play rather than move to Broadway with one of those hits.
Well, it's easy to answer. This is a great part. More meat on the bones of this part. This play was sent to me while I was in Washington doing Follies. And my participation in Follies was a joyous one and a desired one to sing Broadway Baby.
Mm-hmm. The show-stopping number.
Well, they're all show-stopping numbers, really, and it was a very successful production. But once I read this play, I think I was on page 3 or 5 when I realized I had to do this play. It's a great play. It's a new play. I love working with new playwrights, living playwrights.
Well, it's an embarrassment of riches. How many actors wind up having to choose between 3 successful plays? But you say you like new plays because you can create the character?
Because it's the beginning of something, yes, and because it's a collaboration of creation, because the playwright is alive in the room, learning what works and what doesn't, and the actor is learning what works and what doesn't together. The ensemble begins and creates something from page one, rather than trying to duplicate or reinform or be reinformed by history. We're making history. It's very exciting, and this play is just, well, I mean, those reviews obviously have been, as you said, thrilling this morning, but the play deserves them. It's a dynamic, powerful, highly viciously comic play and fun to do.
Now, you say that you went through the rehearsal process with Nikki Silver, the playwright.
Yes.
Does that mean that it changed during the rehearsal process? I wonder whether Shakespeare was adjusting his plays as he was working them out with his ensemble.
Well, from what I know, he was. And all great playwrights do make changes when what they hear isn't what they meant, or when what you're doing isn't what they said.
Can you also make a suggestion?
Absolutely. And it doesn't necessarily get taken, but sometimes it does. There were times when Nikki said, if I incorrectly said a word, he would say, you know, I like that word better. Let's use that. But he was never a stickler, ever, for absolute specific necessity. He always was generous with all of us, and it took a long time to learn these lines. He writes in a very nonlinear way, so that something you've mentioned 3 lines ago comes up again. It's a jagged, exciting kind of writing. It's the way people talk. He has an incredible ear for these people, and the humor turns on a dime to a tragic depth of sadness. And so what you work on in the room is the collaboration. The director hears it, the writer hears it, and very few changes were made because it was so good to begin with.
Is that tricky for the actor, going from getting a big laugh to then doing something that's just going to stab people in the heart?
Well, you'd have to ask the actor. For me, it's what I live on. I love it.
I feel like this woman, Rita Lyons, is somebody we all know, and yet she doesn't conform to all of our expectations for her. That must be part of the fun, too.
In what way doesn't she conform?
Well, there are always surprises in this
play. Yes. Well, the surprises are inherent in his understanding of this woman and these characters. This is a family of people who are really disconnected from each other.
And we think we understand them when we first meet them, and then they do things that, or we learn things that we perhaps would have liked to have known earlier.
Or yes, perhaps they are people who may reflect people we know, but we don't know this much about them. This is a very private look at very private actions in people's lives, in a family, and in the dynamic of the family, in the relationships between and among them, but it's also about the isolation of these characters and how they feel on their own.
We first meet her in the hospital room where her husband, Ben, played by Dick Latessa, is dying of cancer, and they both seem pretty much fed up with their life together, which seems like tragedy rather than comedy. So how do you make a situation like that funny?
You have Nikki Silver write it.
So it's really just trusting in the lines?
Well, he's just hysterically funny. His ear for the truth is about people who have a tremendous capacity for ironic humor in the face of deep sadness and senses of humor that help them survive their unhappiness.
Although it can get rather nasty. Rita is busy
nastiness
planning.
Nastiness is terribly funny.
She's planning how she's going to redecorate the living room after he dies. And when he objects, she says, well, you won't be there to see it, will you?
Well, that's sort of the way she says it, but she says it in a much more innocent way. But she is asking him for permission to move forward because he and I know that he's dying, and we're about to introduce the children, the grown children, to that fact. But what she says is, I'm not so old that I should just crumble away. I want to move forward. Is it wrong of me to want a new palette, to want to start over?
Well, I was thinking this woman could be a monster, but you bring real empathy to your portrayal of her. Is that something that you did, or do you think that's just in the play?
No, I believe it's inherent in his understanding of this woman. I don't see her as a monster. I see her as a woman who grew up in a time when women were trapped by economic necessity and by social stigma. I see her as a second-generation American, daughter of immigrants, who was told to do the right thing and who was imprisoned by that world and became, in her own way, powerful but powerless at the same time.
Well, their adult children, Lisa and Curtis, arrive to find that their parents haven't bothered to mention that Ben is dying and has just days to live. So we're talking about a family where communication is a real problem.
That's exactly right, where communication is lacking. And you know, the audience...
But there's a lot of judgmental stuff there. Lisa first seems to be sane and caring, but then we find that she's an alcoholic single mom who hopes to reconcile with her abusive ex-husband. And Rita at first seems sympathetic to her, but then insinuates that one of Lisa's kids is retarded.
Just moderately. Moderately. Not excessively, she says. Not excessively, just a little. Well, you know, it's not so passive, and some of it is more aggressive than passive. But I'll tell you, the audience is exploding with identifiable laughter. People understand and relate to these people. They're not foreigners, you know. They are the people we grew up with. They are people who are critical, judgmental, yearning, desirous, a daughter who's an alcoholic in recovery, by the way, and who's trying...
Who's gay and a writer who seems to be the only one in a happy relationship until we discover that that's not the case.
That's right. And, you know, this is not all strange or made up or alien behavior. These are people we identify with, and you can hear that in the audience's appreciation of this play right away.
My guest is Linda Levin, who is starring in The Lions, which has just been given an extended run through November 11th. It's at the Vineyard Theater on East 15th Street. And it is written by Nikki Silver and directed by, now I'm losing his name.
Mark Brokaw. Great director. I'm just thrilled I finally got to work with Mark. And Nicky, I had not known Nicky's work. I'd never met him, never worked with him. And this part is just a great gift for me and for the American theater.
In this play, just about every scene starts out in what seems like a familiar situation and then veers off into uncharted territory. Those sudden shifts are partly what makes it so funny. But because these characters do seem so real, we're also touched by their inability to connect to each other.
Yes. Well, it's familiar, isn't it? I mean, we live in a world now, in an age, where therapy and recovery and spiritual teachings have helped us to try to understand ourselves and each other and open up communication. But these are people who are shut down to those skills, and the comedy comes out of that, and the comedy comes out of the recognition that we are victims of the lack of communication when we don't work at it.
Do you think of yourself as a theater person? You appeared in quite a few Broadway and off-Broadway productions before you were on Alice, the hit TV show, which so many people probably still associate you with. Since the end of that series, you've come back to theater, won a Tony and many other awards. When you came back, did the TV stardom make you more of a box office draw?
I hope so. I think that's one of the values of TV stardom. When I came back, it was to do Neil Simon's play, Broadway Bound. And a lot of people don't want a television personality to reinform their plays because they're afraid that the play will be a diversion
Although
they'll see Alice playing, you know, the mother.
Has that changed in recent years?
I think it has changed, and I think I was one of the people who was lucky enough to benefit from that change. People allowed me, the audience allowed me to be an actor and not just to be a character on a television comedy. But they do recognize me as Alice, and that's a great gift to me because she was the biggest success for me in terms of financial success and worldwide success. But I do think, to answer your question, I do think of myself basically and fundamentally as a theater actor.
Some of the greatest British actors seem to be a bit amused that they're recognized mostly because they appeared in the Harry Potter films rather than all the other things that they've done.
Sure, but that's generational, isn't it?
You've also done quite a few films, and do you have a new one coming out, Wanderlust?
I do. Wanderlust with Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd, and it's coming out in February. It's a comedy, and I play a stylish, upscale, snarky real estate broker. I have two wonderful scenes with them.
You have this new CD that we mentioned earlier, Possibilities. When
yes.
is that coming out?
It's coming out digitally November 1st, so you can get it on iTunes November 1st, called Possibilities. My musical director is Billy Stritch. My producer is John Brown, and he's the bass player. And my drummer is my husband, Steve Bakunas. So, and a wonderful horn player, Ray Codrington, and a wonderful guitarist Byron Dabas. And we recorded it in North Carolina a year ago, and I'm thrilled with it. I love it. I'm excited about it. It's the kind of CD that you take on vacation, you slip it in the car and drive, and it's filled with standards and show tunes, and we do Possibilities, the song that I sang in Superman in a bossa nova. You just played it at the beginning. We recorded this in a day and a half in North Carolina in a studio with a great engineer. And so it comes out digitally on November 1st, and then November 29th it goes on Amazon.com.
Are these songs that you have sung in your cabaret act?
Yes, they are, and I've been doing that act for about 7 years. And some of them are new. Some of them I've not done in the cabaret act. I added them too because I wanted to do Might As Well Be Spring in this way.
It's also been described as a jazz CD. Do you think of yourself as a jazz singer or more of a cabaret artist?
I think of myself as a performer who wants to become a jazz singer.
Who wants to become one.
I'm working on it.
So do you like improvising?
I do, very much. I do, yeah. And I like the feel of taking a standard song and making it more jazz-oriented. And the group are jazz musicians. So it helps me to sing in a way that I grew up listening to jazz singers.
You mentioned that it was recorded in North Carolina, and you're living part-time anyway in Wilmington, North Carolina.
That's right.
When you're not performing in a play or a film.
Yes.
The usual question for an actor is, why are you living in New York or Connecticut and not L.A.? But Wilmington?
Yeah, I know. I went there 15 years ago to make a movie, and I never left. There's a film studio in Wilmington, and I went there to film a picture for television and fell in love with this town. It's a port city. It's on the ocean, and it has a lot of theater and a film studio, as I said. A lot of talented people live there.
And you have your own theater, don't you?
Yes, my husband and I formed our own theater there called the Red Barn Studio. And we just finished our fourth season. We've done 12 plays in 4 years.
Like what?
We opened with Doubt. We then did Collected Stories. We've done Glengarry. We've done Speed the Plow. We just finished Rabbit Hole. We've done Driving Miss Daisy. And we run just about 5 weekends. Driving Miss Daisy, we did 65 performances.
You in them? Or?
Yeah, I played Miss Daisy. We take turns performing or directing. We both produce. Steve builds and designs the sets, and I do the costumes. It's a little mom-and-pop theater, and it's very successful. It's a 50-seat theater. He transformed an automotive garage into a theater. And it's very successful. We've left it in the hands of some good theater people, and they're doing their own production there right now.
And
you can go on that website.
You're
going
to have to wait until November 12th to be able to go back, because the Lions has been extended until November 11th. It's at the Vineyard Theater at 108 East 15th Street. And
yes.
Linda Lavin, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure to be with you.
Let's listen to you sing. It might as well be spring.
Thank you.
I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I'm starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to